The scripture this morning is taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Peter was one of the apostles, often referred to as Simon Peter. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. And so you might want to have the message notes, especially that first page, just kind of available to you, because I want to really kind of focus in on this scripture. Back earlier this fall, we did a series of sermons on this scripture passage. And so today is kind of a review of that, but then also God was kind of messing with me this week, and you get to have, you know, what the result is of that. And so he stepped on my toes several times. So if I step on you, know that I already stepped on my own. And so fair's fair, okay? So good morning again, and welcome to Living Water Church. You know, we've made it to the last Sunday of 2025. And so this is just a great service to kind of reflect back on this past year, how we've done, and look forward to 2026 and what's happening, what God might have for us. And so today, as I shared, as a pastor who loves you and wants the best for you, I'm going to do some meddling today. And it might sting a little bit, depending upon, but if you're open to the Holy Spirit, it's all for the good. And then this is one of the things I love about the Bible. Because, you know, personally, I just have this tendency every once in a while to get a bit distracted. You know, I tend to just kind of slip a little bit off course from time to time. You know, you're doing really well, and then suddenly you just start to drift. And you don't remember ever making that decision, but you just find yourself that you've kind of gone off in another direction. And it's one of the things I love about God's Word, because it shows you. It opens your eyes to it as you think, wow, I think I've really gone the wrong direction here. It's one of the things that God's Word has done for me this week. And so maybe some of you in 2025, that maybe this has happened to you as well, because we all do it. And, you know, and I hope that this morning is just one of those times where you hear the Holy Spirit saying, like a car GPS, recalculating. I'll still get you there. It might take a little bit longer now, but I'm still going to get you there. That's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us a new set of directions. But at some point, we have to choose to listen. And so this morning, if 2025 has gotten you a little bit distracted, God in His grace is saying, yeah, you might have gone the wrong way on this, but I'm here to tell you that, you know, I'm not here to tell you that you've messed up. Just that I'm recalculating your life, giving you a new set of directions so you can get back to where I want you to be. But you got to listen this time. So we just heard Jan read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. In this passage, Peter says to make every effort. So I want you to just think about your life right now as far as making effort. Think through what the things you do that you work, what is it that you work hardest at? Okay, so think about that. What in your life do you find that this is the thing I have a lot of effort that I've put into it? Because this word, it's like bringing all of your effort, bringing all of your zeal. What do you work hardest at? Where do you place your greatest concentration? In this passage, he's talking about these character qualities. And he's saying, make every effort to add to your faith moral excellence, and moral excellence add knowledge, and knowledge self-control. And he names all these things that have to do with who we are. And he says, make every effort towards this. Be diligent about this. This is really important. And here's something I've noticed. You know, about 20, 25 years ago, I specifically remember people asking me this question. What are your goals in life? What are your goals in ministry? And I still remember my answer. And I'd say, you know what? And I was completely sincere. I'd say, I'm not sure what my goals are in ministry. I don't know what my goals are in life. I simply want to stay in God's will. But I do have a very clear picture of the person I want to be one day. I know the type of husband I want to be. I know the type of dad I want to be. And I have a very clear picture of the type of Christian that I want to be. And my goals were wrapped around who I was going to become, this type of person, not what this person was going to achieve. I was focused, and I realized something about these last several years is that I've gotten maybe just a little bit distracted. Instead of focusing on what God is doing in me, instead of focusing on who I am in Christ, I focused a little bit more on what I want to accomplish and what I want to do. And it's not like my character has fallen apart, but I've just kind of put it on the back burner. There's this is kind of this sense, well, I think I'm good enough now. I'm doing pretty well in my character, so I'm going to focus on this other stuff and what I want to attempt to do. And that's such a big mistake. Because this passage says, if these character qualities are yours and they're increasing, that's what's going to keep you from becoming ineffective or unproductive. When you're the right person, things are going to happen. God is going to work through you. There's going to be some fruit that's produced. You're not going to be ineffective. Things will happen in your life. And it's so true, because when I first started off in ministry, I noticed I had some friends that would pursue certain positions and wanting to achieve this and wanting to achieve that, and I want this and I want that, and they kind of let their character go on the back burner. And it was actually really sad, because what ended up happening is they ended up with neither. They didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish because they weren't the people they needed to be. And so as I look back in my life, I realize, was it really that I pursued all of where God has taken me? Or was it that I was just trying to be the man of God God wanted me to be, and then all these things God has brought my way, and that those things just started happening? And it was just so good for the Word of God just to cleanse me again and remind me, okay, stop trying so hard to achieve this, to accomplish that. Just go back to being the person I've called you to be, to make every effort toward that, be diligent toward that. And see, some of us maybe need to recalculate our life this morning, because that's what we've been doing. We've been just too focused on what we want to do rather than what God's called us to be. And that doesn't mean we don't work. I've worked all that time, because part of having character is not being lazy and having a good work ethic. But the whole idea is pursuing and praying hard and making every effort and bringing all the zeal towards these character qualities in your life that maybe haven't been your number one priority recently. Maybe someone came here this morning with a hope that God would change your circumstances and fix your situation. And so the first thing I want to say to you is that God is a lot more concerned about changing you than your circumstances. And so I hope that you understand that. It could be that God wants to keep you in those difficult circumstances because he's working on changing you. It's about your character. God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to stay where you are. It's this new person that he wants to make us into. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness because those are the things he wants from us. He wants to see his children live. He wants to see his children godly. He wants to see his children with grace and peace. And that comes from knowing him. That comes from becoming like him. And so we make every effort towards these things, and then this other stuff will happen. And so here's a really important question. Do you want to change? Is this the desire of your heart this morning? It's not, I came here, God, because I want you to fix this or fix that. But you came here saying, God, I want you to change me. Peter starts the passage. In view of all this, make every effort towards these things, okay? So what's this reason? What is this in view of that he's talking about? So if we go back a few verses, we see that Peter talks about that God has given us everything we need to live this godly life. That now I'm not just flesh and blood. I'm not just this human being, but when I gave my life to the Lord, when I decided I was going to follow him, when I decided I didn't want to live like the world anymore, I want to live the way you want me to live, at that moment, he puts the Holy Spirit in me. And so now I'm a participant of this divine nature. I've escaped the corruption of the sinful desires here on this earth. I'm not just going down this whirlpool, everyone else, be getting sucked in deeper and deeper and deeper. I've been given this divine nature. And now I can live a different way. And so he says, for this reason, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, because you've been given this divine nature, because God has blessed you, and he's given everything you need for life and godliness, because of all that he's given you, take advantage of it. Make every effort towards adding to your faith these virtues that he wants you to have. It's the idea that we get to pursue these things. And so when you became a believer, was it just because you didn't want to go to hell? Or was it because you saw that God offered this better life? And the morality that he was offering and this way of living that he describes for us was better than the world's? And so you said, God, I want to repent. I want to turn from all that stuff and the consequences of it, and I want to live your way now. I mean, didn't you have that desire when you first gave your heart to the Lord? Isn't that what the Holy Spirit gives us, is this desire for virtue and for character? And this is a huge question because it has to do with our attitude. Are you thinking in your mind, I get to change, or, oh, I have to change? In other words, is this what you want? You know, the Holy Spirit came into me and I get to put off this stuff of the flesh. Or are you thinking today, oh man, do I have to forgive? Do I have to stop watching those movies? Do I really have to be careful with what I say? I mean, God, you'll still let me into heaven if I hate my parents, right? Or God, you'll let me into heaven even though I still have this addiction I haven't dealt with, right? Or God, you let me to heaven even if I have this secret sin in my life, right? And those questions reveal a heart that isn't about what I get to do, but what I have to do. And it reveals and gets to me the question, wait, so you don't actually want to be saved from the old you. You actually are hoping you get to keep those things and still go to heaven. Because one day, the way I understand it, the Holy Spirit, when he came into you as a person, that he makes us a slave of righteousness. And we now have this new master in us that actually desires the things that are good and right, and that he wants then to change our nature. He comes in and he says, I'm going to make you this new person. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to get off course from time to time. And it doesn't mean we don't have temptations and we don't trip and fall every once in a while. We're still in this fallen world and the flesh, we're still having to deal with it, but we have this new master that actually wants us to live a righteous life. And so isn't that you? And so whenever you blow it, it's like, oh, I didn't want to be that person. And see, the Bible says you don't have to be that person anymore. You've been given a new nature. And now you have everything you need to live this godly life. So go for it. Go for it. And now make every effort because you get to. I mean, don't you hate it when somebody wastes potential that they have? I mean, it's like a child that wants to quit piano lessons. In all the years that I was a piano teacher, I had so many students with so much potential quit lessons because the discipline of practicing wasn't exciting enough for them. They'd rather play video games or watch TV or talk to their friends on the phone. And some parents understood this was a phase their child was going through and encouraged their kids to stick with it. You know, other parents, you know, they just told me, I don't have time to make my child practice. And so they let their child give up on it. You know, I have met many adults who told me they used to take lessons on a particular instrument and they quit, and how they wished they hadn't quit. I've never met someone who took lessons and became accomplished on an instrument tell me that they wished their parents had let them stop taking lessons when they were a kid. But this is part of this passage of Scripture where I have the potential to be an amazingly godly person. I have the potential of being this virtuous, self-controlled, persevering, just, knowledgeable person that lives a holy life filled with so much love. That's why the Bible says, because you have that potential now, because the Holy Spirit is in you, go after it 100%. Don't quit on these things. Make every effort towards it. That's what we want for our kids and grandkids, right? When we see a gift in them, and we're like, come on, go for it. You've been given something. That's the idea that God has given you His Holy Spirit. He's given you the ability to be holy, to be righteous, to be virtuous. So don't believe the lies that you can't be this, that you can't do it. Yeah, maybe you took some wrong turns. But here's what the Word of God is saying. Okay, now make every effort toward these things. And it starts with faith. You have to believe that God not only gives you this desire to want righteousness, but He also gives you the power that enables you to achieve it. I mean, isn't that really cool? It's not just this desire. I mean, it's one thing to have desire. Some people desire righteousness before they became a believer, but they won't have the power to accomplish it. And what He's saying is, my divine nature has been given to you. You have taken of that divine nature. My divine power has been given to you. You have to believe that. It starts with faith. Why even try to develop this list, these qualities in this list, if you don't have the faith? Because if you don't have faith, then you don't believe that any of these things can be yours. And so you've got to believe it. You've got to believe, number one, that God loves you. And that for those of you who have walked away from your old sinful life, and you say, God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe He rose from the dead, and you've decided to follow Him, that He's put this new nature in you. You have to believe it. You have to have faith. But then you've got to move on from that. You can't just have faith. You have to believe that you have that power from that faith. He says you need to add to it. You need to add moral excellence. Moral excellence is your actions, in your purity, in your thoughts. So verse 3 and 4 says He's called us to have the same glory or excellence that God has. So add to your faith. It's not enough for you to say, oh, I believe it. No, He says you've got to believe this, that you can have this type of moral character. You know, a lot of people say they believe, but your faith needs to be expressed in something concrete for it to be real. People ought to be able to see this moral excellence in your life. There have been times when I've gone to a funeral, and I've heard how this person had this great faith, and then I hear their story, and I don't see any moral excellence in the story. It makes you wonder, okay, did they just believe it but never put it into practice? It's got to be expressed in this development of moral excellence. We're to make every effort. This is something I do also. And so to help understand the Holy Spirit, consider this idea that you were given for Christmas a treadmill. Anybody get a treadmill for Christmas this year? It's kind of an old thing to get. Maybe you got an elliptical machine instead of a treadmill. All right? Well, you can't go back a month later and say, I didn't lose weight, so I'm returning this, because the salesman's going to say, well, did you get on it? Oh, you mean I actually got to get on that thing to lose weight? Oh, I didn't know that. You know, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. It's this idea that we've been given this tremendous gift and this power, but there's also this idea that he says to make every effort towards these things. Make every effort to add to that faith that you have. It's great that you believe, and now add to it moral excellence. Work hard at it, knowing that God is working through you to accomplish these things. And then it says to add to your moral excellence knowledge. How are you doing with your knowledge? Have you been working harder and harder to understand God, to understand the truth about God, to be understanding the Word of God? How are you doing with studying the Word of God? You know, in the craziness of all of our schedules, we somehow find the time to watch a TV show or get on Facebook or go out into the woods during hunting season or keep up with our friends. But how much effort have we made towards knowing God better? How much effort have we made towards knowing the Word of God better? You know, some of you have been believers for years and years and years, and the only verse that you can quote is John 3:16. You know, that's why I put in those notes, in those next steps, a verse to memorize. Each week, if you memorize a verse, pretty soon you start to get all these different things in your mind that helps to guide your actions and your thoughts. How have you made every effort at adding to your moral excellence? Because maybe you've been living a very virtuous life. Are you adding to that knowledge? Start making efforts towards that. And it's not just about knowing facts. This knowledge has to do with internalizing those facts, because we all know people who know a lot about scriptures. They go to 3 Bible studies a week, and they just can quote all these scriptures, but yet you look at their life, and you just don't see it being applied to it. It has to do with the wisdom of internalizing, of using it, of doing it. It's about growing in this knowledge and wisdom that actually directs us in life. Then he says to add to your knowledge self-control. Now it's getting a little harder. Self-control has to do with the person who is able to master their sinful desires. And sometimes we talk about self-control and we talk about the extremes. But you have to understand this word. It's about just things in natural life and being moderate about those desires. Because we all have natural desires. They aren't all bad. It's about being able to control that and being moderate in them. I might not like to eat. Okay, that's normal. You know, that's the way God made me. It's okay, but do I show some self-control with that? With sexual desires, it's normal. It's God-given, but are you moderate in that? Are you staying in the parameters of what God says is okay in that area? You know, I like to sleep. I mean, don't you love to sleep? I mean, some people don't, but I love to sleep. But am I being moderate? Am I getting too much sleep? Am I getting enough sleep? You know, am I being moderate in it? Okay, you know, I like to have fun. It's the desire, but how are you doing in moderation? You need clothes to stay warm, but how many clothes do you need? It's self-control. Now I'm really meddling. I didn't even mention shoes, but it's interesting. Because I think there's a weakness here. Some of you say, like, I've got way too many clothes. But what are you doing today, this week? Well, there's a great sale. I got to go back and buy some more. You know, why? Well, because we lack self-control. Our challenge with self-control is this idea of where I almost feel like I'm good enough in this area, rather than making every effort towards this virtue that God has, and getting to where I'm totally content in these areas, where simplicity is a part of who I am. And so how are you doing in this area of self-control? Are you making efforts towards it? Are you making strides? Are you becoming diligent in this? Because we can be diligent toward a lot of things and neglect our character. This next one might be the toughest, because he says, add to our self-control this idea of patient endurance. Patient endurance is when you have this weight on you and you just keep holding up under that weight. And he says we need to have this endurance. I'm going to need to hold out a little bit longer. And what we want to do is we say, God, would you please get rid of this weight that's on me? You know, because we're more concerned about, you know, how we're doing and how easy life is. But this idea of patient endurance is God wants to teach us how to endure. And so you don't persevere, you don't learn perseverance by knowledge, by reading about it. You only learn it by having this weight on you, and there's some pressure on you, and you're going to feel like quitting underneath it, and it's going to become more and more difficult, and you want to just collapse. And so most of us, we just pray, God, get rid of this weight, because we're not so concerned about developing that patient endurance. I mean, when's the last time, or have you ever, I mean, think about this, have you ever in your life asked God to make your life a little bit more difficult so that you can develop some endurance? Have you ever in your life thought to yourself, you know what, I think I'm kind of weak in this area. Every little trial comes along my way and I fall apart. And so I say to God, God, I want to work on this because I want to become this man or woman who endures. So go ahead and just keep it coming. Pretty challenging thought, isn't it? It's kind of comical when you think about it, because we're a whole lot more concerned about our comfort than we are about our character. But that's not God's desire. Okay, so I want you to think about this scenario. Use your imagination right here, okay? Let's say that Jesus himself showed up in our worship service today. And he came up here, and he said, when you leave today, I'm going to offer you two options, plan A and plan B, and I want you to decide which option that you would want. It's up to you. All right, so plan A, 2026. I'm going to make that year very easy and comfortable year for you. Everything's just going to go your way, right? You want a great marriage, it'll be there. You're not married yet, well, that perfect mate's going to come along. That person is coming. You want a new job where you make three times as much next year, all right, you're going to get it. I mean, no one in your family is going to get sick, and you won't get sick. It'll just supernaturally happen. Now, at the end of the year, you're not going to be any stronger spiritually than you were in 2025. You're not going to be any closer to me, but it will be a fun year. Or I'll give you plan B. Plan B, 2026, I'm going to have you go through some hardships. And it's not going to be easy. But during those times, you and I, we're just going to get really, really close. You are going to learn how to pray some deep, deep prayers. And so you're going to be just experience me like you have never before. And at the end of the year, you're going to get through this, and you are going to be the man or woman that is just far beyond where you are today. This patient endurance, this strength that you've never had, it's going to be there in greater measure. I'll get you through it. It's going to be really tough. And so you're walking out the door, and Jesus is the one greeting you and says, what do you want? Plan A or plan B? I mean, be honest with yourself. What would you choose? Think that through. Because, see, I found myself really frustrated at hardship in the past, as if something was just going wrong. And the reason I was so frustrated was I was not thinking about my character. Most days I wake up and I don't even think about my character and wanting to be a certain type of person. I just want to be happy. I just want that problem to go away. And so what do you want for yourself? Because I can tell you what God wants. He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be this steadfast person. And you see, instead of being frustrated at hardship, if I was really concerned about my character, then I could obey James chapter 1 that says, consider all joy when you encounter these trials. Because you're thinking, okay, trials are here, and I've been concerned about my endurance, so here's an opportunity to get stronger. I haven't pulled that thought process off yet. It's kind of like a goal, maybe someday. But that's where we want to be, right? So here's an opportunity that we might be able to get stronger under these circumstances. It's just God recalculating, saying, Todd, you've been so frustrated about so many things. Don't you understand? I'm trying to change you and make you stronger and turn you into this person that you want to be, right? Yeah, that's what I want. And so, okay, keep it coming. Well, that's a hard prayer. That's a hard, hard prayer to pray. And next he says, add to that godliness. The word godliness has to do with this reverence, a respect towards God, kind of like a piety. It's about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of them, going after it. I mean, don't you want to be this awesome person that's godly, that endures, that's self-controlled, that's knowledgeable, and is morally excellent? And then he says to add brotherly affection. It's this idea of tender affection toward your spiritual family. This brotherly affection that we ought to have for each other. The word used is the word Philadelphia. We're a family in here, and he wants us to have this tender affection toward one another like a true family member. And you may have nothing in common with someone other than Jesus Christ and your salvation and your desire to live a holy life and to live out his mission, but kind of on a fleshy level, you'd say, I would never hang out with that person. But our shared relationship with Jesus, we should have this tenderness towards them because that's God's desire. You stick with them. And you have this, you know, you just have this concern. So 1 John 4:20 says, you can't say that you love God and at the same time hate your brother. It just doesn't make any sense. There ought to be this brotherly affection. Add to your brotherly affection love. And understand this love that he's talking about, and it's the last one that he mentions. He says this love is a God love. It's an agape love. God is love, right? And it's who he is, but understand his love is a subjective love, not an objective love. It's not one that's based upon the object of his love and what they do for him. Oh, they love me, so I'll love them back. You know, no, it's I myself am love. And so I do nothing but love. I love you. You know, it's not that I love you for who you are. I love you in spite of who you are. And so is that what you're known for? I mean, don't you want to be that person where people hate you and spit on you and curse you and you just, you know, love them in return? Isn't that what we signed up for? I want to be like Jesus, where Jesus said, go ahead, nail me to a cross and I'll still love you. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So how are we doing with that? Because the Bible says in verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The NIV version says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure. And so as you look at these qualities here, are they increasing in your life? It's not a question of are you doing better than other people. The question is, are they increasing in you? Are you more loving today than you were a few months ago? Do you have a little bit more self-control today than you had at the beginning of the year? Doesn't matter what level you're at. The question is, are they increasing? Are they abounding? Because that's what's going to keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. That's what's going to keep you from hearing at heaven's door, I never knew you. And so isn't that what we want? Because nobody wants to live a pointless life, right? I mean, don't we want to know that we did something significant here on this earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, well, if these character qualities are in you and they're increasing, it says it will keep you. It's your guard from being ineffective. And you know how you become like the people that you hang out a lot with. As we know God more and more, as we're closer and closer to him, you just naturally become more and more like him. That's why truly knowing God is so important. These qualities are the qualities of God himself. And that's why he says, I want you to become like me. I want you to make every effort to become like me. I saved you to become like me. I made you my ambassadors. I want to look down and see me in you. I saved you for that. Because these things, they're the ultimate good, because God is the ultimate good. And so as you look at these qualities, it might be that this is a time of repentance. You know, maybe we each pray, God, help me to make every effort towards these things. Fix these things in me. Change me, not my circumstances. Change me. Let's pray. God, this passage is such a revealing passage for us. It's just kind of a check. It's like going to a doctor and getting that yearly checkup. Are we living what we believe? Are we striving for what we believe we're striving for? Are we putting our efforts in the right place? Are there things we've neglected in just the busyness of life? Oh, Holy Spirit, may you open our eyes. So easy to lie to ourselves. It is so easy to ignore that subtle voice inside of us that says, this is an area I want you to grow in. It's so hard to embrace that because we know, well, that means I got to make some changes. And those changes might be some tough things to change. Some things we might need to let go of that we just not sure we want to let go of. Some rearranging in our schedules when we kind of like our schedule the way it is. So Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and that you would convict. You'd help us take the blinders off. Help us to see our relationship with you the way you see it. To see the truth of where we are in our walk with you. For where we're doing well and where we really need to spend some time and concentrated effort in this next year. So how am I doing in this process of developing godly character? God, what is our attitudes about our repentance? Do I show to you that I want to repent or that I have to repent? That I want to change or do I act like I have to change? Am I trying to do the least possible and still be a Christian, or am I completely surrendered to you as best as I know how to do so? Oh, Holy Spirit, convict where we need more conviction. May you give the strength to make every effort toward building our faith and adding to it moral excellence. God, may we not compare ourselves with the morals of our culture, but with the morals that you lift up to us from the Scriptures. May we commit to striving for a greater knowledge of you and your word and a greater sense of self-control in our life. God, may we have the strength to see with joy those difficult circumstances that give as a result of going through them a patient endurance, not an easy quality to develop. May our godliness grow. And may our love for each other become more and more perfect, reflecting more and more of your grace and your mercy. And may you add to us a much greater sense of your perfect godlike love that cannot be mustered up in our own efforts, but rather is a gift from you as we spend more and more time with you, as we become more and more like you. God, this new year gives us this blank slate, a new opportunity to give everything we have to becoming the people you've called us to be, holy and consecrated to you. May we live out that commitment with everything we have. I pray this in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. Amen.